Join with me this morning, if you would, to my 4th of July message. I conjured over that for some time, thought about it, and I said, it's right here in the book of Numbers. So turn with me to the book of Numbers, if you would, the book of Numbers, chapter 9. We've looked at a number of times in this chapter 9 about the Passover, and about those who took the Passover, and then those who could not, and the Passover was made a second time, the second month on the 14th day of the month. And there was much rejoicing. And then there's a couple of verses there about those who didn't come and the judgment that would be against them. We may touch that later, but I want to go to verse 15 through 23. Brother Craig read some about this in the scripture reading this morning. And that is the fire by night and the cloud by day, and what it meant to Israel, and truly what it means to us spiritually today, that there is such grand leadership of the Holy Spirit for God's people, and that that is true liberty to me, is not having to worry about what to do. I don't have to worry about what to do. It's been done. And that's true liberty. It's true liberty, not having to worry about what we have to do. And so, happy 4th of July. And even at that, when they signed that Declaration of Independence, all those who signed it put their lives on the line, really. It was many years later before there was the nation that we have today. 8 years of warfare. Did you know that if you walked at a pleasant pace from Mount Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, now that's the opening up of the land of Canaan, do you know how long it would take you to walk that distance? 11 days. 11 days. And yet the children of Israel spent 40 years there in the wilderness. Now, some of it was as a result of their reaction to not wanting to go in, that they didn't believe God and so forth, but that is all in the purpose of God anyway. He's going to show us a great deal about your and my walk during this life after the Lord saves us. That it could have been a short time. I'm going to save you and then I bring you home. Well, sometimes we wish that it had happened, but the Lord doesn't do it that way. So let's read this passage of scripture. And look here at this wonderful subject of liberty. The 4th of July, there shall be liberty. All right. And on verse 15 of the 9th chapter, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up. Now, there's a lot of things that have taken place around this time. We've had the Passover take place. But in retrospect, he wants us to go back and say, when the tabernacle was completed, when the tabernacle was finished, when all the work had been done and it was reared up, it says the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so the Lord shares with us his presence there at the tabernacle. There's going to be a cloud by day, the appearance of fire by night. And that is going to be there, and it will be there the 40 years that the children of Israel are in the wilderness. And verse 16, and so it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, what does it say? They rested in their tents. Isn't that a beautiful picture? They rested in their tents. And then it goes on to tell us here in verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched as long as the cloud abode above the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. What liberty! They never had to wake up one day and say, well, I wonder if it's time to move or not. Every day, they knew exactly whether it was time to rest in their tents or it was time to get up and move, get prepared. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it was 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Did you notice that? 2 days, a month, a year. What care God took of his people? He's in charge. At the commandment of the Lord. Now, the rest that we have is at the commandment of the Lord, and the journeyings we have are at the commandment of the Lord. That's what he brings out. In verse 23, at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Moses is sharing, this is going to be the sign. This is going to be what to look for. And I can't help but think in the next chapter, there's two silver trumpets that are made that are not going to be used to help notify too, but we'll get to that at a later time. This phenomena of a cloud and fire has been used in the past. Would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 13? Brother Craig read Exodus 40, but turn back with me to Exodus chapter 13 if you would. And we notice here that the Lord has demonstrated his great power and also his great leadership, his providence, his purpose in times past with regard to this. In Exodus chapter 13, and there in verse 21, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21, it says, the Lord went before them by day. The Lord went before them. Capture that. Lay hold of that. Let it become part of your day. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them, what? The way. The Lord led them the way. Now, I saw a map one time that was dotted with footprints that someone had taken time of reading through and kind of sharing where the children of Israel traveled for those 40 years. And you know what? If the wind hadn't blown and covered their tracks up, they would have been like some hunters finding their own tracks. They crossed their own path. And yet it was the Lord that led them all the way. They were not on their own. It was a pillar of cloud that led them. It was a pillar of fire that led them. In other words, the Spirit of God leads his people wherever he leads his people. And it is at the commandment of the Lord. It also tells us here, in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21, verse 22, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, when they entered into the land, there was no need for that again. And when we pass over the Jordan River from a spiritual context, we don't need that anymore. But I'm thankful that he does not take away his leadership of his people all our life. None. None are left. Now, we may find ourselves, as I did one time, out elk hunting, and I found some tracks. And then I found out they were my tracks. I thought I knew where I was going, but I found out later that I didn't know where I was going. Well, thanks be unto God, he got me out of the mess I was in. You know, the Lord, as it says here, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Now, there is another wonderful passage of Scripture along this light, And it's found over here in the book of Exodus chapter 14. Would you turn there with me? Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 20, we find that this phenomena, this glorious phenomena of God, had been used as protection for Israel, but also it was used as a deterrent from the Egyptians. God used it to protect his people. God used it as a shield. God used it as a barrier. God used it as protection for his people in such a glorious way. And that is recorded here in the book of Exodus chapter 14 and there in verse 20. The children of Israel were in the lead and the Egyptians were following close by. But notice here, this pillar of cloud, verse 19, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel. Now that angel of God is none other than our glorious Savior, none other than the pre-incarnate Christ. This is the glorious guardian of Israel. It says the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. You know, I'm just so thankful for readings like this that share with me God's continuous providential care of all his people. Do you know what? Even as that man was thrown into an automobile and lays in a hospital at this time, and probably when they remove all of those mechanical devices, he will pass into eternity, God is still with all his children. Providence brought him to that point. And as Brother John and I were talking this morning, we miss, but we would never ask for them back. And nor would they want to come. Never. All right, goes on to say here, and it came went behind them, verse 19, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came behind the camp, between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. I'm thankful for that still today, that there is a barrier made between the camp of Israel and the camp of the Egyptians. That is the only reason that there is any word of God on the face of the earth. If it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. But it's not possible. Why? Because he's the guardian between Egypt and Israel. Spiritually speaking, he's a guardian between the world and the church. He's the one that protects it with all his mighty power. And it goes on to say, and it was cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light and night to those, so that the one came not near the other all night. Now the next day, the Lord's going to take care of the problem. The Egyptians are going to be turned loose. They are going to come into the Red Sea. And I'll never forget that preacher down there in Texas when he was teaching this in Bible school. There's one man down there that I like to hear talk because he made sense. He said, what a miracle. Modern people say that the Red Sea was only 5 inches deep. It's more of a miracle than he thought that God would drown the entire Egyptian army in 5 inches of water. Well, the scriptures tell us that they were washed up on the shore. So that's how God took care of his people. He took care of them. It was their day of liberty. They were at rest and peace in God Almighty. He's the one that overshadowed them all the way. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them into the wilderness. And he protected them. And every step that they took in the wilderness, where we are today, was appointed, directed, and overshadowed by Almighty God. It is his great light. It is his great fire that he takes care of his people, protects them, and leads them with. When the tabernacle was finished, this cloud settled on it. Now we find in the book of Revelation that our tabernacle and our temple is not physical. It is a person. It is symbolized as a tabernacle and a temple in the Old Testament. in the physical sense, but the spiritual knowledge of God's people about this is, I don't need to go to Jerusalem to worship. I can worship God anywhere because He is everywhere. It's not a building. It's not a tent. It is God Almighty that these things represented. And so the book of Revelation shares with us that every believer in every age has worshiped at a tabernacle and at a temple whose name we know as Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Amen. Jehovah God. They have worshiped at this one person. He is the one that they have given homage to and bowed before and worshiped. This one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here the symbol of it goes on that there was this one, the Lord, that took care of them in the wilderness. A picture for us to say, hallelujah. I wondered how I got through this. I wondered how the Word of God came to me. In its truth and in its simplicity. I wondered about that. And then you find out God had been taking care of it all along. He's the one that ordained it from the foundation of the world. He's the one that brings it out in this life, during our lifetime. And He's the one that will carry us through to the promised land. And He will lead all of His people all the way, every step of the way, there. And that is liberty. I do not have to worry what I must do because it is done. My sanctification is not a do, it is a done. My salvation is not a do, but it's a done. It is real liberty now. Now, there is a passage of scripture back on this page I wanted to read, and it is Psalm 105. Would you turn with me to Psalm 105? Psalm 105, and there in verse 39. Psalm 105, verse 39. The scriptures share this. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. What's that mean? Back up. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. And then they decided, this is not a good thing. Who's going to build our buildings? Who's going to make our brick? And so they went after them. And verse 39, he says, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give them light. And the people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. My goodness. Now, we read this in its context. We find out that the people were a little anxious about that sometimes. But from a spiritual relationship, we find, ask and it shall be given unto you. And he fed them. And it says he fed them with the bread of heaven. And the Lord commented on that in his own personal ministry. I am that bread that came down from heaven. Moses gave you bread and what? You're dead. I gave you that living bread that came down from heaven. And in Psalm 27, would you back up with me in the book of the Psalms for just a moment? Psalm 27. And there in verse 4, Psalm 27 and verse 4. The greatest form of liberty ever described. Never having to wonder what to do. You know, in religion, there's never any end. In salvation, there's never a question. We have been brought to rest upon Christ. We are resting in Him, and it's not a wonder about what to do. Never having to wonder what to do, and knowing that you are directly protected on every side and from every enemy. The Lord Jesus took upon all the enemies of the church on the cross and won significantly over them. To be led by divine presence and promise divine conclusion. You know, divine conclusion is eternal rest. It's eternity with the Lord. promised divine conclusion every day at the end of our life. We are promised rest in this life, rest in our tabernacle, rest in our tent, rest in Christ, and at the end it will be consummated and forever ours. Oh, that and the psalmist shares with us in Psalm 27, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, going back there to the book of Numbers chapter 9, would you join me there again in Numbers chapter 9? This gospel according to Numbers chapter 9 and verse 23. They rested in their tents, and it was at the commandment of the Lord. Chapter 23, at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Now, again, I want to emphasize the fact that this was at the commandment of the Lord. And the commandments of the Lord are irrevocable. They cannot change. He's not going to change his mind about rest. He will not change his mind about his rest and what he gives the church. They rested in their tents. It was the commandment of the Lord. And how is this with the church? The church is commanded to rest. When he went to the cross, he was under command to cause them to rest. They cannot find it on their own. In our own natural state, born into this world as children of Adam, we are always and constantly in turmoil. Now, we may settle it by this doing this, or we might settle it by doing that. But we're still at natural turmoil about it. And that's why it's so difficult when someone comes to us with the gospel and says there's nothing to do, that we just cannot get it to fit. Because we have been told all our life there is much to do, and we must continue doing it, and hopefully it will be enough, even in some grace. But the Lord has conveyed to us in this that the commandment of the Lord is to rest in your tent. The whole travel time, why did it take so long? 11 days would have covered that, and I got that from Dr. Hawker. 11 days. Could have covered that entire distance at a medium pace if it had been God's eternal purpose that they do it that way. Why did they stop at Sinai for a year? Because God purposed it. And why did it take them another 39 years to get there? God was not caught short when those 10 spies came back with an evil report. It didn't affect him when those two came back with a good report. He knew that. He had purposed that. His children will do that. Those Caleb and Joshua and Caleb, he knew would come back with a good report. Because why? He dwelt in their tent. He's the one that had given them safety. He's the one that had given them light. He's the one that had given them his spirit. And those 10 that came back and did not have a good report, he was not caught short by them. He knew that that's what they would do because they did not have him dwell in their tent. He did not give them rest, and he did not cause them to stop from their work. They came back with an evil report, and God knew all about it. In fact, he purposed that that would come back that way. You know, unsettled men without Christ cannot come back with anything else but what they have by nature, and that's what they brought back. The people of God rested at the first sign of the cloud or the fire stopping. Think about that. At the very first sign that it was stopping, they set up the tabernacle, they set up all of that, and they began to put their tents up, just like they had that orderly fashion with their tents. They knew exactly what to do. The sign of the cloud or fire stopped them. And they rested in their tent. And the people of God were prepared to travel at the first sign that that pillar of cloud or that fire began to move. It was second nature to them. It's much like we heard this morning about those in that great day when he sits on his throne and as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. It was those folks on the right-hand side, the nature was given to them, or the impetus was given to them to serve the Lord, and they did it without even many times knowing about it. They didn't write it down. Some of us remember when we moved into this building, all of the little cubby holes out here to store all of the paperwork that went with all of the religion of the people who were in here. And if you didn't do a number of doors, if you didn't do this, pass out tracts and all that, you were taken out and tongue lashed, because that is not what we do. One of the first things that was removed from here was those cubicles, because we didn't want the remembrance of what we had to do, because we already knew that what has already been done, the Lord. Would you turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 22? Now this shares a lot with why the Lord spent the next 39 years from the completion of the tabernacle, the next 39 years with those children of Israel out there in the wilderness. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 10, the Lord is going to show them it is not he who begins the race, that's not the one who wins. Not the one who begins the race. Now, he set them out there in the wilderness. In actuality, they had 11 days of travel. But for the next 40 years, he is sharing with us what we find here in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men. He's talking to his disciples. For my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, why did he give them 40 years of travel? Well, we find in the book of Hebrews, he's identifying a whole bunch of folks that didn't know the first thing about the gospel. These all died in unbelief. They traveled their entire lifetime, and in the end, it was resolved they didn't know the first thing about the gospel. They had never tasted of the riches of Christ. They had never really been led of the Lord. They are pawns. They are those who are on the stage. They're not the actors. They're just those that are supplied. They are the ones who are the hewers of wood and drawers of water on the behalf of the church. But when it came to the end, it was demonstrated they knew nothing of grace. They were still doing and not relying on what had already been done. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's not those who begin the race. It wasn't those who crossed the Red Sea and came into the Sinaitic Peninsula. It wasn't those who traveled the first year or the second year or the third year or the 10th or 20th or 30th year. It was those who crossed over Jordan. And many graves were left behind. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of John. John chapter 6 and verse 27. John chapter 6 and verse 27. And you know who protects us from falling out? The one that oversees us even in our dire times? As we follow Abraham, Noah, as we follow David, as we follow Paul, as we follow those who seem to have great knowledge about God and their physical life, it is atrocious. Why did he give us those examples? To let us know that if we make it to the end, it's not by our effort. It is by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. It is because he paid for all the debt of all his people completely and totally on the cross. And they will be presented spotless. They will be presented without spot or blemish, just like he is. It's not because we wandered well. It's because he had his hand upon us and we traveled with him. Here in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. What is the meat that perisheth? Well, you must do. What is the meat that leads to everlasting life? It's been done. What's the food that's satisfied? It's been all completed. When he said it is finished on the cross, the church believes that with every fiber of their being. There's nothing left to do. Which the Son shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Let's read that completely now. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. It wasn't that manna that fell in the wilderness. It is the true bread of life that makes the difference, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, I think it's probably been in every generation. I think probably when we get to Korah, Korah's coming up here in the book of Numbers. He's Moses' cousin. And he comes up with an idea that Moses has just taken upon himself too much and he should share that duty. Now, I think for, you know, probably most of his grown-up years, he thought he was in pretty good shape. And then he identified himself. You know, it's talking this morning about those who have, in every generation, who have appeared for a season to know what the gospel is, and then find out, after you hear them some, they don't know the first thing about the gospel. They're still trying to get people to do works, or they're declaring lies about the Lord. Here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, what is another reason that the Lord gave them for, instead of 11 days, gave them 40 years? For the time will come, in Cain and Abel's time, till this time. He's not saying that this hasn't happened in the past, he's just saying it's going to be continuing on. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what that means? Itching ears? Desirous of hearing something pleasant. Having itching. That's another reason we have 40 years there instead of 11 days. Well, turn with me, if you would, back to the book of the Psalms. The book of the Psalms. I'm so thankful that when the Lord does His work, it is so complete that we truly understand what it is when He said, when I stop, rest in your tent. When I move, let's travel. You're at liberty. I'll make the decisions. I'll watch over you. I'll care for you. I've protected Israel against the Egyptians. He's going to protect all His church from all sin that we've ever committed. He's going to lead us by His... And truly, another thing that we can see here is as that cloud overshadowed the tabernacle, we see that the Holy Spirit only dwells over the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Well, here in Psalm 107, beginning with verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, when we come across the word mercy in the Scriptures, we have to identify ourselves as natural man at one time. Because this mercy is only given to sinners. It is an absolute need that God gives to us. If we have mercy, He has taken care of sin. It is not given mercy just because it's free. It's mercy that has taken care of sin, and therefore we can be free. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, he's redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And sometimes I think Moses, Joshua, and Caleb saw all the things going on around them, and they just said, so? God is God. God is doing his work. God is providing for us. So. And then it says here, and gathered them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and the south. He gathers his elect out of every nation, kindred, people, and tribe. None shall not go through this world and never hear the gospel message if they belong to him. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. What is it recorded about Abraham who had all of that property, and yet in the book of Hebrews, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was not here, even though he walked through here. And that's the church today. We look for a city and whose builder and maker is God. It's a spiritual blessing that he gives us. Now, he does take care of us. As it says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. What did he do to the children of Israel for all of those years? He led them by the right way. Now, we say, I remember that rocky pass we just went through. That didn't seem. He led them by the right way. Well, remember that trouble we had? He led them by the right way. His ways are not our ways. As far as heaven is above the earth, are his ways above our ways. He is not expected to be understood. He never said, you must understand me before I can save you. He said, you will never understand me. I will reveal some about me. And that's what Peter said when Christ asked him, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you just think about that for a moment. That is a full confession of faith. I trust you and I trust you alone. You're all my hope. You're all my salvation. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And everyone that went from this point to this point and entered into there that were spiritually quickened understood that every step they took was by the providence of Almighty God and not by mistake. And when Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land, it was by grace and not by works. Brother Mike.